In the UK, flammable cladding has been found on 75 high-rise buildings tested in the wake of this month's Grenfell Tower disaster. Authorities are now evacuating residents from the buildings, but a lot of people are refusing to leave. And that's not so unique if you think about it here in Australia. We've witnessed many instances where people in danger from flood or fire insist on staying put. Edwina Stott reports on the psychology of staying.
If you witness a disaster remotely through the radio, TV or online, often our first thoughts turn to what we would do if we ever found ourselves in such a catastrophic situation. We imagine our first instinct would be to muster our loved ones and run, or if we had prior warning, to heed it. But that's not always the case.
If you think about the basic thing about life, it's about security, and we get our sense of security from what is stable and familiar. And what's stable and familiar is our everyday surroundings.
Rob Gordon is a clinical psychologist and consultant for Red Cross Emergency Services. He's worked on disasters in Australia and New Zealand for 30 years.
Particularly in the case of a warning, the threat is not yet evident. In other words, we should get the warning before we see the fire or before the fire's broken out. And that means we've got to accept the loss of that security before our senses are telling us. There's been a lot of research about behaviour in relationship to warnings and in the United States years ago, and they found that usually what people do is the first thing they try and do is go towards the problem so they can see it for themselves. They're very reluctant to just take information. So I think people have great reluctance to let go of that security they have from the familiar predictability because that makes them feel really worried. What can they depend on? We talk in psychology about defence mechanisms. We protect ourselves from ideas and feelings that we find disturbing by defending ourselves, and we can do that by a number of ways. One way is to simply, what we call denial, simply say, no, it's not happening, I'm not going to think about it.
Rob believes part of the refusal to leave may lie in a distrust of authority.
Under normal circumstances, a lot of the time, people's relationship to authorities is actually not seeing them as there to help. If we're driving around on the roads and we see a police car, our first instinct is to try and make sure they don't pick us up for speeding or something. And the tax department's onto us. And, you know, so this is, if we don't stop and think about it, it's easy to get into the attitude of feeling that the authorities are the ones that are trying to sort of make life difficult for us.
Some of the refusal to see the situation as dangerous may simply come down to whether you're male or female.
We know from Black Saturday there were many stories of people where often the men are more likely to deny it, and women who I think are often in their day-to-day life much more focused on threats, particularly around taking care of their children and so on. And there were many examples told to me of women who were saying to their husbands, we should leave, this is going to be very dangerous, and their husband just saying, no, no, it'll be fine. And then suddenly the fire was on them and everyone was in a panic.
So if people don't realise or aren't capable of coping with the danger they're in, what does that mean for the emergency services who have to attend to them once it's too late? John Oliver is the secretary for the Firefighters Union in Queensland.
It'd be very difficult for a firefighter to turn up, depending whatever laws are in place, to refuse to go inside and try and rescue someone that's in their, I guess, DNA. To hold back is almost impossible to watch people in trouble from our point of view. So we would hope that the laws and legislations and bureaucracy behind these things could be sorted without causing any confusion and decisions made before we get to that point.
So, John, when people refuse to leave, do they put the lives of serving officers at risk?
I guess when you are responding to these types of incidents, there's a lot going through your mind, and the first thing we'll do is commit to rescues because that's our priority, is saving people's lives. In the initial stages on these types of buildings, you would have seen Grenfell took off at a rate of knots up the side of the building. So a lot's going to be going through a firefighter's head in terms of prioritising who and where to and what to rescue. So I would say that, yeah, any delay in rescuing people always puts pressure on the firefighters, but also on the other people in the building as well.
Do you ever have the powers to forcibly remove people from a building?
In emergency situations, may differ from when there's not an emergency. But there's a lot of people, I guess, that would be involved in that decision-making process from council to fire service to, I guess, the police and the policymakers.
And would firefighters ever be asked to enter a building and save people who have refused to leave?
We've been in that situation before, so yes.
What would you say to people who are insisting on staying?
If the firefighters are asking you to get out for your own safety, then you'll have to take that as the best advice you'll ever receive.
That's John Oliver, Secretary of the Firefighters Union in Queensland, in that report from Edwina Stott.